Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Isaiah 42 verse 6 from the New King James Bible says this: I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you a covenant to the people as a light to the Gentiles. I'm with Galia Hall from Christian Friends of Israel. Now, Galia, Israel had a terrible terror attack on the 7th of October. How did you hear about it?
Well, I'll never forget it. We were actually fast asleep and woke up to the sound of sirens in Jerusalem, which, as you know, Paul, you've lived here a long time, is quite unusual. And it only took about a second to realize something bad was happening. And my first thought was the kids. We've got three young children who were fast asleep in their beds. Didn't want to panic them, but had to get them out of bed pretty quickly. So we woke them up, and that began a terrible day where we were seven times in our bomb shelter through the day. And as the day progressed, obviously, we were all getting more and more information. It started to trickle in slowly, and then more information started coming through, and it was almost impossible to believe what we were hearing and images that we were seeing. And as it started to sink in, what was actually unfolding, it was very difficult to take in. Very difficult.
I think in the beginning of the day, we didn't realize how bad it was, did we?
Of course not. We thought, oh, there's a terrible increase in rocket attacks. This is terrible. But, you know, we're used to rocket attacks in the South. But like I say, as it began to unfold and more information came in, it was very difficult to process. How on earth could such a thing happen?
Has this attack meant that CFI has had to spring into action?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, CFI is always springing into action. We've got several projects on the go, whether with Holocaust survivors or the Ethiopian community, with Olim, with new immigrants to the country, victims of terror. We've got many, many projects. But since October the 7th, we almost pressed the pause button on many of the projects, and we've been focusing in two key areas. I'm not saying that the other projects stopped, but our focus has been twofold. We've been working a lot with the IDF, with the soldiers, and we've been working a lot with the displaced Israeli civilians who, as you know, are living all over the country in hotels, some of them whom are survivors of the massacres and come from communities that were under attack. So we haven't entirely stopped our other projects. Of course, we're there for all the people. But yes, since October 7th, we've been kind of focused in those two areas, and we have not stopped day or night. We have been so busy, and it is such a privilege that we actually have a platform and we have the possibility and the ability to help people as much as possible.
And what have you been hearing for the people who've had to basically leave their homes and come here closer to Jerusalem?
Yeah, so we have spent a lot of time, and I mean a lot of time, like almost weekly visits to different hotels. A lot of the hotels down by the Dead Sea, also in Jerusalem, also in Ra'anana, in Tel Aviv, all over the place. And because we've also seen something about Christian Friends of Israel, which I'm sure you are aware of, is our ministry here, our organization, is all about building relationships. And building relationships one person at a time. So this is very meaningful work for us. And so we've made repeat visits to a lot of the people. So, for example, there's a community from a moshav called Moshav Yavul, which before this, I'd never heard about this moshav. It's by the border with Gaza and Egypt. And they were all evacuated to a guest house in Masada. And I don't know how many times we visited this community, and we've built the most phenomenal friendships and relationships with these people. I must tell you, the first couple of times we went, so there was a little girl who would sort of give us suspicious looks, you know, who are these people and why are they coming here and what do they want? And now when we visit them, she's running into our arms for hugs, you know, because we've become their friends. What have we done for them? We've taken them whatever practical supplies they may need. We've offered free haircuts and nail treatments and all kinds of things. But we spent a lot of time talking and also listening. And what they are telling us is that this is a traumatized nation. This is the message we're getting. Number one, this is a traumatized nation, a trauma that I'm not sure we really fully understand how deep this trauma goes. Everybody knows somebody. Everybody has lost somebody. Everybody is affected directly. Number two, there's also causing a little bit of fragmentation in some of these moshavim and the kibbutzim, they've always been about like a nucleus of people living together. Now, they don't know when they can go home. Some people are in a hotel, some people are with family, so they're fragmented, which is also affecting that communal structure, which is such a key part of the psyche of these areas. Another thing that they keep telling us is this sense of being alone in the world. You know, they see the venom being poured out around the world. They see it on social media. They see the protests. They see the terrible anti-Semitic, deplorable slogans, and they feel very, very alone. And so we've tried our best to show them in practical ways and to assure them that there is another narrative. There's also a narrative of Christians here in Israel and around the world who stand with them and who support them, who pray for them, who love them, and that actually they're not alone. But there's a whole massive community, millions of people around the globe who are with Israel.
Now, you just recently had a lady come to visit here at the office. Her son was kidnapped by Hamas. Tell me what happened there.
Yeah, so we had almost a bit of a surprise visit recently. A lady came to our offices. Her name is Tammy. Her son, his name is Rom, R-O-M, Rom. And Rom was kidnapped from the festival, the music festival. The reason Tammy came to us is that ever since that terrible day, and ever since her son has been held captive by those monsters, Hamas, can you imagine, how does Tammy live? Like, she cannot function. She cannot think. She doesn't sleep. She can't eat. She can't work, you know. And this story repeats itself for all the families of the hostages. Their lives have literally stopped. And what does that mean in practical terms? It means they can't pay their bills. They're not earning. There's a lot of financial strain on a lot of these families. Now, Tammy came to us because she actually has a friend who was helped several years ago by Christian Friends of Israel. And this friend suggested to her, you should go and speak to them. Maybe they can help you. So we are helping her in that way. But we also promised and we committed to keeping awareness of Rom alive through our social media. Now, Rom, he was working in security at the party. And when everything happened there, you know, Paul, Rom had the opportunity and had the chance to leave. He could have left, but he didn't. He stayed to help other people. And afterwards, Tammy's actually been getting a lot of messages and phone calls from people who Rom actually saved and rescued. And if it wasn't for Rom, they would have been kidnapped themselves or murdered. Mm. But because he stayed to try and help and rescue as many wounded people, as many people as he could, he put himself in harm's way and he ended up being kidnapped himself. The last time he was seen was around 1:30 that afternoon, and then he was taken. And obviously we just pray every day and we keep our hearts full of hope that he is alive and that Tammy will get her son back home.
So she knows nothing about her son, whether he's alive or dead?
She knows absolutely nothing. Between Hamas and the Red Cross, there's no information. She knows nothing. She has no idea. All she knows is that he was seen being taken. So she knows that he was taken. But she has absolutely no idea about his condition, whether he has any injuries. Nothing. Is he dead or alive? She knows nothing. But, you know, the scripture says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so it's very important that we keep hope alive. Mm. And we told Tammy that we are, you know, every morning our Christian Friends of Israel, our staff, we gather together every morning and we pray. We pray for the soldiers, we pray for this nation, and we pray for the hostages. And we are also believing for miracles, you know, that God can supernaturally set these people free. But no, Tammy knows nothing. And it's very important when we're praying for the hostages that we also remember to pray for their families, because they are living through the most unimaginable horror.
And this has been going on since October the 7th.
Exactly. This has been going on for over 3 months now, and there's really no end in sight. So what can we do as Christian Friends of Israel? You know, we can't physically go in and bring her son, but we can show her compassion. We can show her practical support. We can try and meet some of her needs in a practical way. We can show her love. We can pray for her. We can keep her, the awareness of ROM alive and well on our social media platforms. All of our international reps all around the world have been made aware of ROM, and their communities and their churches are all praying for him. And perhaps this is the most effective, powerful thing we can do, is to, you know, to beseech the God of Israel for this young man's life.
Have Christians all around the world been supporting you as you are supporting Israel?
Yes, we've been absolutely astounded at the support that's come in. Like I say, we have international representatives in a variety of countries. And since October 7th, we made sure to notify all of our reps and our database that our outreach, let's say, had slightly adjusted. And we were focusing, like I said, with the soldiers and the displaced civilians. And so what does that mean? It means that every week our different staff members are delivering supplies to army bases and to units, whether in the north or the south. And these deliveries, by the way, are based on things that have been requested by commanders. So we work very closely with commanders of different units. And then I've already explained about the work with the displaced civilians, also helping a lot of the kids with school supplies, because a lot of them are having to do online learning. They need tablets, they need iPads, they need things for school. So we're able to provide that as well. And how can we provide all of this is because our people have just been so generous in sending funds, sending donations through. You know, there are so many Christian Friends of Israel supporters all around the globe who would give anything to actually be here right now. And we are the ones, you know, our staff, our family here at CFI, we are the privileged ones that actually get to be the hands and feet of the millions of other people around the world who can't be here, but through their generosity and through their support. And it's not just financial, by the way. Like, there are many, many prayer gatherings that have been taking place. There are many, many conferences, many rallies, many vigils for the hostages. There's so many expressions of love and support. That's why I said earlier, this narrative of, you know, anti-Israel, and I'm not saying that there hasn't been an upsurge, because there has been, but it's not the only narrative. There is another narrative. There is another voice. And it's a voice of Christians all around the world who are saying no to anti-Semitism and who are saying no to this deplorable hatred of the Jewish people, and who are actually, now is a time for people to make a decision where they stand. And we've just been so blessed and encouraged by the support that we've received.
It must be difficult for you at the moment, being someone from South Africa, and of course South Africa is taking Israel to court. Is this a form of anti-Semitism?
Of course it is, but I would like to rephrase that. The South African government has taken Israel to The Hague, and the South African government and their despicable anti-Semitic behavior in no way is a reflection of what people on the ground feel. And I think that's an important distinction to make. Number one, the South African government should be taken to The Hague itself for their own corruption and their inability to provide for their population. So therein lies the irony. You know, somebody should be taking them to The Hague. Secondly, it's entirely anti-Semitic. The South African government has been, it's no secret, has been anti-Semitic for years, but it's really come to the forefront now. And thirdly, and it needs to be said, is that the South African government seems to be nothing more than a puppet of the Iranian regime. And we all know that the South African government receives funding from Iran and from Qatar, and they seem to have some very strange friends if you look at BRICS. So it's absolutely deplorable. It's very upsetting for South Africans to see what the government has done. But I have to point out that distinction. If you were to go to South Africa now and just talk to people on the streets, whether in Cape Town or Durban or Johannesburg or wherever, you would hear a different story. You would hear different sentiments. And I have to say as well that there has been the most beautiful display of solidarity with Israel and the Jewish community that has sprung up from Christian communities in South Africa. There have been some amazing rallies and vigils and gatherings and absolutely beautiful support. So yes, it's very, very upsetting, and please God, he'll have mercy on South Africa, but it doesn't represent the country as a whole.
It must be quite something to be here in Israel at this time, helping and responding to the needs around the country.
Yeah, it's a privilege is what it is. Mm. It's an absolute honor and it's an absolute privilege. And we really do feel that and we really do understand that. You know, to have the opportunity to sit with Tammy and to look into the eyes, you know, I'm a mother, and to look into her eyes, another mother, to try and put myself in her position, I can't. But to have the opportunity to give her an embrace and to look her in the eyes and tell her how much we care about her and her son. You know, the scriptures say, you know, comfort, comfort my people. And what a privilege that we can actually put that into action. So we don't take it lightly. Not one day goes by that we don't actually almost gasp and think, wow, like, we are actually here at such a time as this. But it's important, you know, we are here at such a time as this. So it's a time not to be silent. You know, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And you know, Christian Friends of Israel is also based a lot on the story of Ruth and Naomi. You remember how Ruth behaved? Mm. Ruth could have left, you know, at any moment and gone and made a good life for herself. But she didn't, did she? She would not leave Naomi's side. And Christian Friends of Israel is committed to standing with Israel in that same spirit of Ruth, you know. We are friends of Israel, and that means in the good times and the bad times. But Paul, we really do feel deeply humbled and deeply privileged to be here at a time like this. And like I said earlier, to actually have the platform and the opportunities to really connect with the people and to please God, hopefully make a difference in their lives.
What's your prayer for Israel at this time?
My prayer for Israel at this time, oh, there are many prayers for Israel at this time, but my prayer for Israel right now is that this nation would be one nation under God. It's lovely to see the unity, and thank God for it, because we both know how it was so terrible, wasn't it, before October 7th. I mean, this nation was being ripped apart from the center. It was very upsetting, actually, the division and the animosity. And basically overnight, that just all went away. So, you know, that's been quite a remarkable thing to witness. One nation under God that experiences full redemption and full protection and can really come into their full purpose as being a light unto the nations. And this is what we pray for. We really do pray, continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem as we're commanded to in the scriptures. We pray for the protection of this nation. But very important prayer is that we pray that this nation would put first God and not the opinion of the international community, but really be one nation united together in spirit and in truth and in faith.
Mm. And what's your website for people who'd like to help you as you help others?
www.cfijerusalem.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also on YouTube, we have a YouTube channel where we have many different videos and all things going up about the different outreach we're doing. And if anybody wants to donate or get involved, please get in touch.
Okay, Galia, thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.